Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. And we are going to be in Psalm 119, verse 105. Many of our songs this morning dealt with this very thing, God's Word. And we are blessed to be able to have God's Word. A few things when I preach on, like this passage or the Bible or different things of that nature, a couple of things. We probably have all heard the acronym for Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And it's kind of like going on a trip. How do you expect to know where you're going or how you're going to get there if you don't read the map? I know many guys think we can get there without the map, but it's okay to use that. It's necessary to use that. And the other one I always like to share is a story Renita had told me years ago when she was teaching, come back from Christmas break, and had a student that said, "Mrs. Peters, you'll never guess what I got for Christmas. I got a Bible." And the little kid was so excited. And then he says, "And not just any Bible, a holy Bible." And so I always think of that, and I just hope that we continue to keep that excitement and that drive for those things. And in Psalms 119, that entire chapter, really, it's 176 verses. I can't remember for sure, but all devoted to just about, I think only like 12 of them do not mention something about the Word of God, either the testimonies or the statutes or the law or your Word, something of that nature. And this whole chapter is set up in, the Hebrew language, and it's set up every 8 verses is a part of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? Starts a new section. This is a part of the Hebrew alphabet, or it translated in English, equivalent to our letter N is where this section begins. And it starts with 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The idea is that the Word of God is like a torch or a lamp to man in a dark night. It shows him the way. It prevents his stumbling over obstacles or falling down precipices or wandering off into paths which would lead into danger or would turn him away altogether from the path of life. And so as we look at that and we're reminded of these things, it's important for us to see, be reminded, and even apply how God's Word lightens our life. I suggest that if you go through your weekly routine and you're not in God's Word for the light that it has to offer, you are walking in darkness. You may be able to fool some of those people around you. You may be able to make it appear that you know what's going on and that you stand strong in God's Word. But the fact of the matter is, the light will show. The light will shine forth, will reflect from us the light that God has given to us, the light that Jesus is, and the light that He expects for us to be, and for us to live a life that downplays the importance of that is really the height of hypocrisy. Because why mess around being here today if you could care less about God's Word the rest of the week? So I told Beth this wasn't much of a toe-stomping sermon, but I guess maybe so far, little bit. But the things we are going to look at this morning are things that I just believe are building blocks, are things that will establish and can define how you really feel about God's word. The first one is, that we want to look at, is, are we Bible believing? Are we Bible believing? Now, you know, I have my digital Bible up here, but got a Bible in my office that I believe, you know, everything, even the front of it that says David L. Atchley Jr. I believe that too. As we look at that, and so do you believe the Bible? Are you a Bible believer? All right? I'm just going to let you know, the demons believe. So way to go, church. You're on the equal playing field with the demons this morning. All right? And so, yeah, maybe there is a little more toe stomping. I don't know. But as we look at this, it's not just enough to be Bible believing. I know people say, well, I carry my Bible to church every Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday night. But the thing is, you never see them open it. So what good does it do to carry it? It gets used as a coaster at home throughout the week. Maybe you have to, you know, use it to put under the table to balance out the legs on the table or something. I don't know. But it seems like we can find every other thing to use the Bible for, but for it to guide and to direct our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, starting in the Old Testament with some text there, it says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And so sometimes we do have things that happen in our lives to see, do you really mean what you say? I'm a Bible believer. Then do you do it? Do you follow his commandments? That's what he said. I could tell right away my words, if you were going to do them or not, and then laid low those 20 years and older in the wilderness, all failed to make it into the promised land. So what do you believe? What is in your heart? Oh, God knows my heart. You know what? I really do get tired of people saying that, because they use that as a cop-out. Because what they're trying to do is say, God and I's got it all worked out. Well, the problem is, it's not about what we think is all worked out. It's, have we been obedient to his word? We'll get to that in a little bit later. But is God's word on your mind throughout the day? Are you always considering Bible lessons and situations that you go through? The events of your day, things happen, events take place, and immediately some Bible story or Bible thought comes to your mind when you see a situation of maybe somebody doing good, and you think of this situation. Tam was listening to the Bible app, I think it was yesterday morning or Friday morning, and it was the story of Nabal and his and David and Abigail, and how it says that Nabal, you know, just a worthless guy. And remember how David's men tried to go set the tone for that meeting with Nabal's guys. And Nabal's guys were all like, oh, man, this David guy was so kind to us, and they were so good to us. And Nabal's all upset and mad and just, as it says, a worthless guy. And his wife, you know, decides to intercede for that, which ends up becoming one of David's wives later. But as we see that, just one of the things that jumped out at me was, like, she quickly grabbed 200 loaves of bread. And I was like, who has 200 loaves of bread just quickly, you know, hanging around? But anyway, you know, so when you hear stories or you hear things, do you apply any of that to Bible, you know, because I immediately, you know, you could run into our kitchen and see there's not 200 loaves of bread that are there just waiting to be used or distributed. And so do you just find ways of things that happen to you throughout the day? You know, the Good Samaritan, As we said, he's not referred to that in Scripture. He's just called the Samaritan. But so do you feel that way as you drive by somebody that's got a flat tire? What thought crosses your mind then? Are you a priest, a Levite, or a Samaritan? You know, just different applications. But I'll let you know this. You can't do that if you don't know the stories. If you don't know the lessons. And what I'm saying is there's just stuff that we can see on an everyday basis on just normal dealings with people. That you can come up with Bible stories and see that things don't really change, but it gives us then better insight on how to handle those, really. We need to remember that not only Christians believe the Bible, as we shared earlier, the demons do. We might surprise you here this morning, but there are many out there in the denominational world that believe the Bible too. Do you think about that? Do you realize that? That they believe the Bible? And then it's followed up by, but I just can't see how a loving God, or they'll say, well, I know this is what the Bible says, but you know, don't just cast all this dispersion at the denominational world. Those in the church do the same thing. So as I say, the denominational world, they believe in Jesus. They even use many of its teachings just as we do. There's many denominational websites that you can go to and listen to and listen to the messages. And until it gets almost to the point of salvation, you almost agree with everything that they say. There's obviously got to be some line of where godly living is a little different, the way we understand things, if you believe differently about salvation. But another one I thought of, to hopefully, you know, get you thinking, is do you understand and believe that the Muslims believe the Bible? Because they don't consider you a lost cause as trying to win you to them and to their belief until you are immersed into Jesus Christ. That's what the Muslim believes. So what does that say? Hey, we got people here this morning that don't believe that baptism is necessarily essential, but the Muslims do. You know why? Because they read the Bible. Now, I will say this, they don't call it the Holy Quran, do they? No. We do call it the Holy Bible, though, as we mentioned earlier. Not only do the denominations and even Muslims believe the Bible, Satan believes the Bible. You don't care what you believe, as long as you don't act upon it. Application is where the difference comes in. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them. Jesus is saying this, sanctify them in your truth, for your word is truth. The Word of God is the truth. What is truth? Have we heard that before from Scriptures? The Lord says, sanctify them in your truth. Sanctify them. It says this, sanctify means to be made holy. How are we to be made holy? By praying? Doesn't say that. I'm not saying that it hurts or that it doesn't help. But it says to sanctify them in your word. Set them apart in your word. By the word of God, you will be made different. You will become peculiar. You will be separate from the world. Believing in God's truth is important, but we must not stop there. Do we believe what we read and what we study? Do we study? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. How can we carry out good works if we do not believe the manual? Right? I've done that before. putting something together, and I look at the instruction sheet, and I'm like, there is no way that can be right. And then you realize why they had you put this piece in at this time. As you get later, and you're like, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. How can we believe the manual if we never look into it? How can we say this is how this works? I'm as guilty as anybody when it comes to this. You've got that owner's manual in just about every car that's out there in the glove box. It's like most people's Bibles, perfect shape. The spine's never been broken. Because we don't look into it. You know, it tells you what kind of gasoline you should run in your vehicle. And probably most of us here run the wrong type of gasoline in our vehicles. Because why? We haven't looked at the manual. Sadly, many Christians go days and go weeks and maybe months without even opening the Word of God. Can we really say we believe something if we never look into it? As I talked about the height of hypocrisy, to say I love the Word of God, to say I believe the Word of God, to say I obey the Word of God, and never open it up to look into it? We need to be Bible-believing. Once we establish the Bible-believing and what that is, then we become Bible-obeying. People, Bible obeying people. It is truly easy to tell if someone is Bible obeying or not. How can you tell? How can I tell if Brandon obeys the Bible? How can I tell if Zeb obeys the Bible? How can I tell if Derek obeys the Bible? How can we tell? It's really easy. It really is. You don't have to sit back and go, well, I wonder. No, it's pretty easy, because it should be transforming our lives. It should be changing the way that we view things and we look at it. I'm just letting us know, myself included, that not every emotion and every thought that we have is spot on. We have to change. And if you're one of those people that think every time you think something, it's a gem, you're wrong. This is more toe stomping than I realized. They're either doing what the Bible teaches and doing what the Bible forbids. Proverbs 6:23 says that for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. It's the way of life, reproofs of discipline. If you never need to be disciplined, well, let's say this. We all need to be disciplined. If you don't like being disciplined, oh, wait, reproof, correction, we don't like that. But if reproof and correction, discipline never comes your way or it's never taken to heart, you're a pretty selfish person, because you obviously think that you've got it all figured out. Obedience helps to put sin aside. If we fail to obey, we are letting sin win and be the master of our life. To obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, when someone says it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, that gives us some insight into what that person thinks. And I cringe when I hear Christians say that. Well, it's easier to ask for permission or forgiveness than permission. No, because that tells me you know what you're about to enter into is wrong, and then you're going to try to repent for a premeditated sin later? I think Scripture talks about that. Say that person's not thinking about pleasing our God. Joshua 1:18, the beginning of his book, begins with, and then the end of the book finishes with similar statements. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. See, we like to use that phrase, and that's a good phrase, strong and courageous. But what is it saying about being strong and courageous here? You have to be strong and courageous to do what God asks you to do. Anybody can cower out and go by the law of the land or what those around you are doing. But it takes strength and courage to do what God wants you to do. Joshua's telling us it's not easy to do the right thing. But you know, if we would, that would put an end to open sin and refusal to do what the Lord wants. Therefore, we must be strong and courageous and do the right thing. But how do we know what the right thing is? How do we know what the right thing to obey is? Because we've believed the right thing. We put our faith in the right thing. Being obedient is harder to do than to do what is wrong. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, there they believe, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, or set you free, some translations say. So we've got those that believe, but there's that fine line between being Bible-believing and being Bible-obedient. Obedience is how the world, or obedience is how the world and even other Christians know whose we are. Again, we can tell. You're not fooling anybody. If we continue in the Word, if we are obedient to the Bible, then we shall be free. And then the third thing we want to look at about is being Bible-loving. Right? Bible-loving. We believe the Bible. Yeah. There's a lot of people that do that, as we've looked. We're Bible obedient. That starts to narrow down the group. Now we talk about, and I do this because we have kids at school, and I've got grandkids, and I've raised kids. There are those that do what they're told because they're obedient. Then there's the do what they told because they love you. This starts to separate out. I believe there's a lot of Christians that are obedient that really need to work, and I'm going to really need to work on the love issue. And even when it comes to, well, I obey the Bible, but do I carry it out with the spirit intent? Do I carry it out with the love that it meant is meant to be distributed? Are we Bible loving? We can believe the Bible and still not love it. Do you think the demons love the Bible? No. But they can know it. They believe it. You know, we can obey the Bible and still not love it. We do it because we fear God. Yes, we are told to fear God and keep His commandments. We are told to respect Him. Yes, we are. But there are even those, and I think there are those, some of those that even come to Christ with the idea of, I don't want to go to hell. And that's a good thought. But you need to come to Him because of the love that He has for you. Why do we love Him? Because He has loved us first. And we need to become Bible-loving. Not just Bible-believing, not just Bible-obedient, but Bible-loving individuals and Christians. We cannot love the Bible without believing it and obeying it. In what it says and what it teaches us. King David in this text, Psalms 119, talked about how much he loved the Word of God. What I did is, what we'll have on the board here in just a few moments, is the verses just in this chapter. There's nine of them, at least. I have nine of them that I was able to find and pull out. That tells us that he loves the Word of God. But go through into the Psalms, into the rest of the Psalms, and see how much David talks about how he loves God's Word, how he loves his precepts, how he loves his commandments. Did David break any of those? Well, he must not have loved them too much then, did he? We still love them. We still understand what they're meant for us. That doesn't mean we're perfect in following them. But we also know that his commandments is what tells us how to get back into relationship with him. In Psalm 119 alone, as I said, there are at least nine times that David tells us that he loves the Word of God. When we love something, we focus on it, we meditate on it, we make it of the highest priority in our life. And so we would be in God's Word more often. Continually, if I dare use that word, that we try to strengthen our lives if we really loved it. We'll go through these quickly. Psalms 119:47. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. Psalms 119:48. I shall lift up my hands to your commandment, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97. And oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. 119, you have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love your testimonies. 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. 159, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. 163, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. 165, those who love your law have a great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Those are just a few verses that talks about how much David loves God's Word. Can we say the same thing? Do we think the same thing? Loving the Bible means that we love what it stands for, we love what it does for us and to us, we simply love that it is the mind of God revealed to us, and we love that by following its teaching so that we can grow closer to our Lord and Savior and those around us to bring them in a closer walk with Him. Now, we've talked about Bible believing, Bible obeying, Bible loving, and we're going to close out with a Bible salvation. John 8:24 says, unless you believe that I am He. And so how do we gain that faith? You know, Coop was talking about that today and what the resurrection is, and one of the things was, and that is one of the most important things that we build our faith on, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that's the only thing, but that's a pretty big one. A pretty big one. But there's a lot of things, and that Jesus is the Son of God, which was also shared in our Sunday school class. The Bible salvation tells us that we need to repent of our sin, or we will likewise perish. Bible salvation tells us that we need to confess, Matthew 10:32, that we confess Him as Lord. If we want for Him to acknowledge us on the day of judgment, then we need to let the world know that we are a Christian and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. To be immersed into Jesus Christ, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. I was very disappointed. I was looking at a website the other day of a church, It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So what way we understand that is that so that our faith, he that believeth, is baptized, is our obedience, leads to our salvation. That's the way I see it. That's the way that verse breaks down for me. Our faith, obedience, salvation. had that same verse, and I even looked at it again. It was one of those Mike Breidenbaugh moments that he had shared with that one lady, Mark 16:16, where she looked, and they had it in there that faith produces salvation, so then there needs to be an action. And I was just like, no. Faith and our obedience, which is our action, brings about salvation. What they're saying is, if you believe, then you're saved, then you go get baptized. That's not what that verse says. But you look at it, and the way they printed it out there was faith, salvation, and then action. And if you don't think about it, well, like Dakota always says, it makes sense if you don't think about it. But what the Lord has asked us to do is to think about it. And when you think about what the Scripture says, then you'll see that man many times is wrong. I pray that it's unintentional, but I believe that they know what they're putting in print. At least they believe what they're putting in print. And pray that they would come to realization. And what I'm saying is, so we've got our Bible salvation found in that book that we believe, found in that book that we obey, and I pray that it's in that book that you love. You find your Bible salvation. Now, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm just trying to compete with George. So if it's a pride thing, I'm going to sing for you. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The Bible,